بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن انس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: كان ابو طلحه اكثر الانصار بالمدينه مالا من نخل، وكان احب امواله اليه بيرحاء، وكانت مستقبله المسجد، وكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخلها ويشرب من ماء فيها طيب. فلما نزلت هذه الآية: لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون، قام أبو طلحة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: يا رسول الله، إن الله تعالى تبارك وتعالى يقول: لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون، وإن أحب مالي إلي بيرحاء، وإنها صدقة لله تعالى، أرجو برها وذخرها عند الله تعالى، فضعها يا رسول الله حيث أراك الله. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: بخ، ذلك مال رابح، ذلك مال رابح، وقد سمعت ما قلت، وإني أرى أن تجعلها في الأقربين. فقال أبو طلحة: أفعل يا رسول الله. فقسمها أبو طلحة في أقاربه وبني عمه. متفق عليه. This hadith was mentioned in a previous chapter also, and we dealt in great detail with its subject matter. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has reintroduced this hadith under this chapter, Babur Biril Walidain wa Silatil Arham, chapter pertaining to kindness towards one's parents and the preservation of family ties. The reason Imam Nawawi has mentioned this hadith under this chapter again will become apparent by the latter part of the hadith. Literally translated, Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Abu Talha, amongst the Ansar, the residents of Medina Munawwara, had many date orchards. And of all his wealth, the most beloved was a date orchard by the name of Bayruha. Some interpretations ulama give is Bayraha. This particular orchard was situated directly in front of Masjid al-Nabawi. So obviously, a prime spot, very close to the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would enter this orchard and he would drink from the sweet water of a well or a water source in this orchard. The verse of the Quran was revealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. This expression in the Quran, لَن تَنَال, in other words, you will never ever, it is impossible, it is untenable, unconscionable, whatever translation you want to put, it is impossible for you to attain birr, that is true piety, true closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until and unless you do not spend out of that wealth of yours which is beloved to you. This time of Qurbani is coming. Here also we are given the advice that if a person has the means, you can slaughter whatever you want, find a cheap goat or find one share somewhere at a very cheap price, the obligation will be discharged. But when it comes to acts of charity, the object is like we find in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The flesh and the blood of the animal is not reaching Allah. What is Allah looking at? وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The taqwa that is inside you is reaching Allah. What is the jazba, zeal? With what type of kafiyat of the mind and heart did you give this qurbani? So this is why we are given this encouragement that give what is valuable. When you spend in Allah's way, don't spend the leftover wealth. Spend that which is most closest and most valuable to you. If you give that up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, then true piety, the true closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will develop. And this was the goal and object of Sahaba. They wanted Allah. That is the object of this life. In this world, this entire existence is to find Allah. You found Allah, you found everything. So Allah Ta'ala says, you will never find me. True closeness, become my true friend, get true taqwa. One is qurb, the closeness of Allah. The other is what ulama say, kamal-e-qurb, true closeness of Allah. This is what is meant. Al-Bir. Kamal-e-Qurb. True closeness of Allah. For this, you have to spend that which is beloved to you. If it is your time that is beloved to you, give that in the way of Allah. If whatever of your wealth, whatever is beloved to you, give that in the way of Allah, then you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Talha went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, Allah ta'ala says, true piety, true closeness of Allah is impossible unless I do not spend that which is beloved to me. And of everything that I own, the most beloved asset of mine is this date orchard called Bayruha. And I am making you a witness, innaha sadaqatan lillah, that I have given it away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the goodness and the reward of it. In other words, he doesn't just take it for granted. He says, I have this hope that Allah accepts. Sometimes we spend our wealth in the path of Allah and think, na'uzu billah, we are doing the deen a favor. Or we are benefiting the person who we gave the wealth to. And we adopt that this pride enters the heart, as if the acceptance is guaranteed. This is prime asset. We cannot even quantify the value of this land, right in front of Masjid al-Nabawi. And it was beloved to Abu Talha. One verse of the Quran comes down. Not only does he give it, I hope Allah accepts it from me. Not that I think that Allah has accepted it from me or guaranteed the acceptance. No. This humility that I hope it's for its reward. I hope for acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, very, very important, he doesn't just give it in sadaqah. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, you advise me, or you spend it wherever you want. فَضَعْهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ Where Allah has shown you, you spend it, or you advise me where this thing should be spent. This is a very, very important sabak and lesson for us to learn, my respected brothers, to maximize the reward of our sadaqah. And if you take our current context, there are many dini projects that are taking place. There are many avenues. If a person wants to spend his money, he can spend his money. But it's not just a question, why are you spending it? To show off? Or because it is expected of you, or because somebody you know made a phone call and said, you know what, write one check to give here or not. When we spend also, we should have this mindset that I want to get maximum for the amount that I spent. There may be many dini projects, but where is it really needed? Where are we going to get maximum return on what we are spending? This is the important thing, my respected friends. And this, for example, many over the years of our Akabirin, I've been coming to South Africa and they've been advising us that this indigenous population in your country, in many, sometimes in the affluent areas, you are spending millions and millions on masjids. Whereas in Fajr Salah, there's 20 or 30 musallis. The advice they give us, once Mazuma said, Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Allah fil his qabr ud noor, he came, one bayan, I heard directly, what did he say? He said that if even half the amount of money that you spend building beautiful masjids in the affluent areas, if you spend this on the indigenous population of your country, if you spend it amongst the poor, if you spend it amongst where it was really needed, how, from where and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have taken you so far as the effort of deen in your country. So very, very important, my respected. One is we can write the check, one is we can spend, but get maximum return for what you are spending. Not only is sadaqah spending an act of charity or an act of reward, ensuring that whatever you spend reaches where it is supposed to reach. And having this concern that I want maximum return for my sadaqah, all this is part of the ibadat. So not only does Abu Talha give this, he doesn't just spend it where he thinks it should be spent. He says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherever Allah has guided you, you are the Nabi of Allah, you know what is the maximum return that I can get for this. Advise me or spend it where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises you or guides you to spend it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the reaction. He realizes the qurbani and sacrifice that Abu Talha is making. First he gives him encouragement. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes happy. Bakhil, dhalika malun rabih. ذَلِكَ مَالٌ رَابِ Excellent, Abu Talha. That is very profitable wealth. In other words, acknowledgement of the qurbani and sacrifice, giving him himmat and courage. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, وَقَدْ سَمِعْتُ مَا قُلْتُ, I have heard what you have said. And my opinion is that you should spend this wealth amongst your poor relatives. Spend this wealth amongst your poor relatives. So Abu Talha said, I will do this, O Nabi of Allah. And Abu Talha distributed it amongst his poor relatives and amongst his cousins. So this last part of the hadith explained, it's quite clear why Imam Nawawi has introduced this hadith under the chapter Silatul Arham, the preservation of family ties. When it is a sad testimony of our consciousness of our family members that near relatives of ours should be on the brink of poverty whilst we are living in wealth. No. If Allah has given us, Allah has blessed us, and you want to spend in sadaqah, sadaqah starts like this. First look amongst your relatives. This is the teaching that is given to us. Those that are poor, those that are needy. When you give out, one plaque will be put on that masjid or building that you put up. Mashallah, people will remember you. When you spend amongst your near relatives, that time there's not much shabashi or acknowledgement. But that is where charity starts. If we have relatives that are poor, we should spend amongst them first. And this is what is taught in this hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, your sadaqah is accepted, very valuable, but don't spend it elsewhere, spend it amongst your near relatives. Obviously, Abu Talha may have had relatives that were poor and needy. This is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gave him that advice. SubhanAllah.